Blog Talk Radio.
This is Chi for Yourself. John's guest today is Wendy DeRosa, author of Becoming an Empowered Empath.
Hi, and welcome to Chi for Yourself. Great to have you with us wherever you happen to be in the world at this moment. Well, energy is something we like to talk about on this program, and I'm sure you're aware of that if you've been following the show for any length of time. Today, we're going to talk about energy as it applies to empaths. Empathic people have a great many qualities, but there are times when being an empath can be overwhelming. Our guest today is an intuitive energy healer, speaker, and teacher. Wendy DeRosa is the author of Becoming an Empowered Empath, How to Clear Energy, Set Boundaries, and Embody Your Intuition. And I'm happy to have her with us today. Wendy, what exactly do we mean when we use the word empath?
Yeah, absolutely. So an empath is someone who feels the energy of others through their sentient body, and that can be an individual, a collective of people, or even energy in our space.
Now, you grew up as one of eight kids in a family on the East Coast. Reminds me very much of my own family, very active, very noisy, but problems do crop up in a situation like this. You talk about that in the book. Take us back to that time and kind of what it was like for you that seemed to set the stage for what you're telling us now.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a very sensitive child, many children are sensitive. You know, I would certainly had a sort of an overly sensitive or highly sensitive capacity at a young age. And I had a lot of responsibility being the oldest girl in the family of eight. I took on a lot of mothering roles. I took a lot of caretaking. Essentially, there was a lot of, you know, in a big family, there's a lot of, you know, yelling and screaming and space compromised. And I started to develop symptoms of oversensitivity. I developed anxiety. I progressed into depression. I gained weight as a child, really feeling everything that was going on around me. And then it progressed throughout my teenage adolescent years. I worked a lot. I mean, by the time I was 19 years old, I had a nervous breakdown just simply from the energetic overload that I was experiencing as a teenager, an adolescent that didn't really have the, you know, a childhood or even connection for the experience I was having.
You know, it's funny. I haven't heard the word nervous breakdown in a long time. And I'm wondering, did that just go away or what is it? Or what was it for you?
The nervous, well, you know, what was interesting is it was a panic attack, and that's what I call, you know, it's like a nervous, for my nervous system basically shut down. But I had a divine intervention. It was my third semester in college, and I was trying to decide if I should stay or leave and finish the semester or forfeit the tuition because I was in such a overly anxious and almost debilitating state. And I was walking with my roommate down the street in Boston, making this decision. And I literally on the street met this, what I now know was an angel, as a divine intervention, but it was a man carrying a ukulele, and he had this glow around his head. And he asked if he could sing us a song. And I said, no, thanks. And he said, no, Wendy, you need to hear a song. And he called me by name. And then he sang this song that said, home on the range where the buffalo roam. One day you're going to get to Colorado. And, you know, he said, it's not your time to go yet. Hang in there. You're going to get there. And he gives me a kiss on the cheek and vanishes. And that is what healed my anxiety. I mean, I knew in that moment I knew it was a divine intervention. My roommate and I were in shock that this had just happened, but literally on the street in that moment is where I felt the shift out of that nervous breakdown experience into sort of a trajectory for the new phase of my life, which was to learn about my intuition.
I was an eldest child. You were the eldest daughter. And I'm thinking, when I hear that, I'm thinking, is there something to birth order? I mean, does being that hyper-responsible oldest child, is that are you born with that, or is that something your conditions make you tend to be?
Well, you know, it's a good question. I mean, from an energetic system perspective in the body, it doesn't really relate to birth order in that, you know, so much of our energetic sensitivity and overwhelm comes from more of our innate sense of safety in our body and our sense of belonging in ourselves, and just that core sense of being able to be grounded in who we are. I mean, I would say as an elder, there's more responsibility put on us that might disconnect us from our own needs and put us in a role of prioritizing other people's needs that might put us in a sort of a hypervigilant state. And that also is part of the empath profile, is that we inherently empath, whether we want this or not, our energy gets attuned to a pattern of being hypervigilant and attuned to other people's energy. And, you know, as a young, in other birth orders of the family, I think in the energetic body perspective, there are other qualities of safety and survival, and that sense of whether safety was compromised or not, that can certainly also put us into hypervigilance.
I know the energetic body is a big part of what you're writing. Tell us about that and how that comes into play here.
Yeah, so I do a lot of my work is based on the chakra system, and that the chakra system relates to our intuition and a lot of history we hold in our body. It also relates to being an empath, and the chakra system or the energetic anatomy underlays the nervous system. So what we come into this world with as a soul and what we experience on a soul level does inform our nervous system responses and then our physical responses. So I talk about a lot in the book how the experience of an empath very much relates to specifically the second chakra in the body, which is the power center in the pelvis. Ultimately, it's our power center for empathic intuition. It's sort of its innate power is to feel what's going on the subtle level and to be in tuned with ourselves and in tuned with the subtle and the soft and the vulnerable and, you know, the sweetness, and that is the innate empathic power inside ourselves. This tends to be the power center that where we will lose our center, or where we might become overly congested or overly caretaking of other people's energy, mainly because the power center beneath it, which is the root chakra, houses so much of our core beliefs and feelings about safety and belonging. And it's essentially our childhood marinade, what we grew up in. And so if we're feeling in that childhood marinade any sense of safety being compromised, or even fear-based programming, it's not even that they're, I mean, yes, people have traumas and traumas are part of that, but it doesn't even have to be. It literally could be that who I am as a sentient being doesn't feel a sense of belonging or acceptance in my space and my environment. What happens is the root chakra in the body starts to contract, and that empathic power center starts to open up in order to protect ourselves by feeling what's going on around us. And that's essentially that moving into hypervigilance. And that pattern of root chakra contracted and second chakra open becomes the pattern that empaths, that we sort of innately recreate in life with energy, whether we realize it or not. That's sort of the mechanism that moves into place.
Our guest on this Chief for Yourself is Wendy DeRosa, author of Becoming an Empowered Empath, How to Clear Energy, Set Boundaries, and Embody Your Intuition. You speak of the soul and the self, and I like that you capitalize words like that to emphasize the importance. What is the difference between the soul and the self?
The soul, I see the soul as the consciousness of our innate being. It's the light of our true essence that is in union with the divine already, and then we come into this body and our path is to seek that union in our human experience, and we do so by nurturing the self, which also includes aspects of our identity. So that's how I see those distinctions. The soul is the innate, pure part of ourselves. The self is who we are continuing to evolve through our becoming.
Now, you're a teacher and trainer, and I'm wondering that since we're living in such a very stressful time, if people, and if you're seeing this, if people are more reluctant to go inside and deal with things when they have so much on their plate in the outer world.
Yeah, it's a great observation and question, because it's true. When we're managing on the periphery of our body, when we're managing crises, it's not a good time to go inward. It's almost not possible when our system is in a nervous system accelerated state, because we're managing that type of crises. The nervous system just won't relax to go into the deeper state. We can, however, manage the nervous system and calm the nervous system. We can certainly create boundaries for ourselves, like I'm going to stop watching the news, not to be disconnected from life and the world and reality, but to take care of my own energy body so that my nervous system can relax, so that I can go to another level inside myself. You know, our deeper healing only happens when we feel safe enough to go there. And so we do have to create that structure for ourselves to feel that level of safety.
In the book, you mentioned spiritual teachings that run counter to a person's personal growth. Is there any one or two that kind of stand out that we should maybe steer away from or tone them down, or ones that bother you in particular?
Spiritual practices, meaning...
Spiritual teachings, things that people cling to in a time like this, and maybe it's not the best for them, especially if they are empathic. Maybe it's not going to serve them well.
Well, I think, you know, honestly, I think what I would say is there, we have to be discerning. I mean, we do have, there is a way in which our spiritual journey, I think there's perspective that we go up and out, or we go for enlightenment, and it's a higher up and out experience. It's about expanding the third eye and going into other dimensions, consciousness. And I think there, in my experience, there's a fine line between becoming disembodied and moving into spiritual bypass versus, you know, highly spiritual and evolved. And part of what I really am a big advocate of is our embodiment, and that so much of our spiritual growth healing work comes from working within the central channel of our body. It's about going deeper and into the universe within us, as opposed to up and out to, you know, other dimensions, higher dimensions that might not necessarily give us the benefit of our own trauma healing. In fact, we could continue to re-traumatize ourselves if we're becoming in any way disembodied or disconnected from the lower body in particular.
Mm-hmm. There are some common words used in the book that maybe are being misused. One of them that I hear a lot, almost in a joking way, is energy vampire. He or she is an energy vampire. I guess we're not really using that in the way that it actually needs to be used, are we?
You know, I have a personal opinion, and I'll own it's my opinion, which is that I think when we use the term energy vampire, I think what's the benefit of it is people can relate. They understand what that means, that I'm with somebody and I feel zapped and drained. But really what an energy vampire really is somebody who is in need of love at a very deep core and unmet level, down to their inner child. And to be honest with you, the majority of us have been there. We've all been there to a point where we've been lacking. We've been on the level of lack and need, and we've been seeking from a deep unmet place to a lot of people. We've probably drained people in our lives more so than we want to admit. You know, if we would think of this as like a human experience. And so I think when we're in conversation with someone who we might call them an energy vampire, there's somebody who's in need. There's someone who's going through their healing process. The way I work with it, my recommendation is that we pray for them. Offer them prayer, stand in front of that person. And I hear you and I'm listening to you and I'm praying for you with my eyes open. And I'm showering you with, you know, your presence and light. And that I'm not letting that energy be drained out of me. I'm staying grounded and centered in who I am. I think in some cases, energy vampires, quote unquote, is an invitation for us to be able to know our power and our grounding and our, you know, embodiment inside ourselves, and that we can offer them the tool of prayer.
Another word that was mentioned in the book that I think I've been using improperly, maybe for all these years, is blockage. Are there such things as blockages?
Yes, there are. And you might not be using that improperly in that, you know, literally in the energy body, if there is an emotion that has not been processed, it's an old emotion. We had an experience at, I don't know, 10 years old, and we swallowed it back. We didn't get to process it. It literally, if you go to a healer who has that clairvoyant sense or clairsentient sense, they can feel that the energy is not flowing in that area of the body. The where it can become maybe misused is when it relates to trauma. And because trauma isn't always a block to be moved. Trauma is a process that requires various stages of healing techniques and ways of working with it for that energy to dissipate. And it's not always about moving energy. Sometimes it's about gaining consciousness and awareness in that area that actually helps heal. So it's just using it in the right terminology or time.
Yeah. One of the book's subheadings deals with being in big groups or out in the world, and with fear being kind of par for the course anymore. So much fear. How should people approach this if they're really a little dodgy? If things are, you know, like, I don't know if I want to get out in groups, maybe I have to. What kind of fears do you see, and how do we go about approaching that fear?
Fear in current fear. About having gone through pandemic, having gone through 2020, having gone through everything. Yeah, I mean, I think there, you know, we've been incubated in many ways on a sort of grander scale, and maybe that's not everyone, but the majority of us have been, and so there is definitely fear in the collective around our survival and how we're going to, you know, pay the bills maybe, or, you know, connect with our loved ones or whatever it may be. And so how do we work with that fear? And part of it is going to be, again, about regrounding ourselves in our lower body specifically, keeping in mind that part of what has stirred up if we're really focusing for a moment on this sliver of time, I'm calling it, which is the year of the pandemic and 2020 and everything that stirred it, you know, our root chakra shook, you know, collectively, and then it shook everybody's individual root chakras. And when our system shakes to that degree, we don't go back to the way it was. We do have to explore the unknown of what it feels like to build and develop a deeper sense of safety and security in ourselves as human beings, in the new system, which isn't formed. And we are navigating a bit of an unknown. So in this time, what I would recommend is that, and this is how I work with it myself, is I ground into the present moment. I ground into what is here and true for me now, knowing that I am in the unknown, and I'm not going to be able to land in, you know, a predicted sense of safety and security right now. I can create safety and security in my own body. And I do that by this grounding cord image of just imagining my around my hips is a grounding cord going to the center of the earth, and that I can feel that sense of holding and connection. And that brings me into down into myself, you know, feeling more of my sense of self.
Yeah. Kind of the flip side of this would be having to spend time alone. What special problems do empaths face when they're forced to be alone and maybe for long periods of time?
Certainly we can go into a deep space of loneliness. And while that can seem somewhat of a victimized place to be, meaning we can get caught in the loss or the trapped feeling of that, and sometimes the powerlessness of that, the flip side of aloneness or loneliness or being isolated is that it draws us into a deeper place inside the empath that is very, very intuitive. And that intuitive part of us needs the mystical experience. The mystical experience is going inward. It is communing with the divine. It is about sitting with your journal. It is about going into the process of creation. It's about befriending your higher self and, you know, the wisdom and the information that's actually available for us to channel through in the world. When we start bringing that power out of our bodies, we're no longer alone. And that it creates a radiance. That radiance is what protects empaths from being overly absorbent. You know, we radiate, and that's where our inner boundaries come from. So it's absolutely an invitation into the mystical channel of connecting to our higher power and our higher self.
One more question and we'll let you go. Just a few thoughts, maybe a final thought of how people should act from this point forward after hearing you today, maybe not even knowing this was going on in their person. What would you say is a good takeaway from the material in this book?
Yeah, so whether people identify as empaths or are just having empathic experiences, what I offer is that the empath is really leading the way in sort of our global transformation, in that we are, you know, we are becoming more connected. We are having more empathy. We are speaking more truth. We are cultivating connected conversations. We're looking for deeper consciousness. This is in many ways the empathic experience, that we have heart and care for the we collective. And so as much as it can feel like a curse to have the empathic nature of feeling, it's also a powerful aspect of leadership.
Where can we find you on social media?
So I'm on Facebook. It's going to be WendyDeRosaAuthor.com. I also run the School of Intuitive Studies. You can find me in the School of Intuitive Studies, either Facebook or Instagram. I'm on YouTube also. My websites are SchoolofIntuitiveStudies.com and WendyDeRosa.com.
The book is Becoming an Empowered Empath: How to Clear Energy, Set Boundaries, and Embody Your Intuition, from our guest, Wendy DeRosa. Wendy, thanks for writing a book that gives us tools we can use, and for your compassion in bringing it to us. I hope you'll come back and talk with us again.
That'd be great, John. Thank you so much for having me.
I'll link to Wendy's website at cheeforyourself.com. Make sure you take a moment to get to the top of that page and leave your email address in the little box provided. You'll be subscribed to Genulines, and you'll get those Genulines blog posts. That's all for today. Thank you again for being with us and for all of your support. Always appreciated. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon.